Welcome to the Beamsville Church of Christ video ministry. Services are presented on YouTube, Facebook, and our website 1 week following recording. This week's message is titled, Faith Isn't Easy. Thank you to Don, Kristen, and Amy for being part of the service. The scripture reading is Hebrews 11, 1-4, and Kristen will read it during the welcome.
Good morning, everyone. It's really nice to see everybody, and the sun is out again. And we've had the rain, and I'm very thankful because my mom had me planting tomatoes, and this is my first time being a gardener. So I was very thankful for the cool day that we had and planting the rain in the hope of a bountiful harvest of tomatoes and looking out and seeing things grow and flourish. And summer is my favorite time of year. I like the anticipation of spring, but I really love summer. Summer just makes me very happy inside. So I'm very happy today because it's summer. I found a verse this morning as I was contemplating what to say, opening up the service. And it's from Jeremiah 17, 7-8. But blessed is the one who trusts the Lord, whose confidence is in him. They will be like a tree planted by the water that sends out its roots by the stream. It does not fear when the heat comes. Its leaves are always green. It has no worries in a year of drought and never fails to bear fruit. And I think about that with our church. Our church has gone through some really tough, hot, dry season of not being able to worship together. And it's been difficult because many of us really love being together. And I know it's just a building, but it is really good to come to this building and to see everybody here and to be able to come together and to do so with confidence. So if you can, bow with me in prayer this morning. Dear Father, we thank you. We thank you for the abundance of food on our table. We thank you for the hope of new things to come, of new people to come worship with us. We thank you for the strength that you give us when we walk through difficult times, when we are sick, when the people that we care for are sick, when people that we love are feeling sad and lonely. We thank you for that strength. And we rely on you and we lean on you. And we know that you are always by our sides and that no matter where we go, you walk with us. Thank you for the love and the forgiveness that you show us. Thank you for your son. Thank you for this beautiful world around us. Thank you for just being you and for letting us be your children. We ask that you bless the service that we have before us, and we pray that we do everything in your glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So we have a few announcements. Danielle and Helen are in need of gently used household goods, including appliances. Apparently they have beds, so that's great. Helping to set up their new home in August. So speak to Jeff or Adam. If you can help with cleaning or painting, they would be really appreciated. And that's always a tough job. But if you can do that, you can speak to Jeff or Adam this time. Grant will be moving to a long-term care home in Welland on Tuesday. So say prayers for that transition and move. We know that change is difficult on everybody. During that time, we just ask for strength and for prayers for Barb. Gloria received ultrasound results that indicate she needs some further treatment. Please pray for her and for Jim. It's I know firsthand now what it's like to have a loved one go through care over at Jerevinsky. And Jerevinsky is a wonderful hospital, and we are so, so blessed. It's a very stressful time for everybody. So just keep everybody in your prayers, and especially Gloria, keep her close. I read the scripture for today. It comes from Hebrews. Now, faith is confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see. This is what the ancients were commended for. By faith, we understand that the universe was formed at God's command, so that what is seen was not made out of what was visible. By faith, Abel brought God a better offering than Cain did. By faith, he was commended as righteous when God spoke well of his offerings. And by faith, Abel still speaks, even though he is dead.
Good morning and welcome, everyone. Glad that you're with us. And wherever you are hearing this message in the world today, or wherever it is, we're glad that you are with us as well. Faith isn't always easy. I was thinking about my mother when she lived with cancer, and it was getting to be the latter stages of her life. She was in the Sioux Hospital, and she just decided that for her last month or so of life that she would just visit as many people as she could who were in the same situation that she was in. People with seeing their life coming to an end because of horrible illness of cancer, and she would try to create a smile for someone and come alongside someone. We all know people like that. Our wonderful friend, Tom Fleming, he just, especially even in his latter stages of life, while he was in Jerembinski and a few other hospitals, he would just go and visit people. He would go from bed to bed to bed, people who were as ill as Tom and yet would be an encouragement to them. But it isn't always easy. Faith itself isn't always easy. Maybe you're listening to this today, wherever you are, and you're struggling with this as well. Faith, I'm not sure I really believe in some of these things. And yet I'd like to believe, but I'm really not sure how to do it. You may remember me telling the story about Donald Miller, who wrote this wonderful book called Blue Like Jazz. And this wonderful book begins by Donald Miller saying, I never liked jazz music. It just never resolved for me. I just didn't like it. That is until one day I was standing outside the Baghdad Theater in Portland, Oregon, and I saw a man play the saxophone. And I watched him and listened to him. And for 15 minutes, that man played without ever opening his eyes. He was totally involved in the music. And then he said this, from that day forward, I like jazz music because sometimes you have to watch someone love something before you can love it yourself. It's as if they are showing us the way. And God does this all the time. Unexpectedly, we look at someone's life or something that has been said or some occurrence that's taken place and it reflects on you and you just needed that lesson at that particular time. It's because God always shows us a way. And we just need to open our eyes. Sometimes it's a simple conversation. Sometimes it's something profound. Sometimes it's something that you read and you go, whoa, wasn't I lucky? No, you weren't necessarily lucky. Maybe it was a lesson that God wanted to bring to you at that particular time. It's true with faith. Sometimes we have to watch someone have faith in good times and bad times before we can really claim faith for ourselves. It's not always easy. I have a number of scriptures I want to share. Even though these scriptures are some 2,000 years in the past, they're just as relevant today. I think many of us would love to have the faith of the centurion that's written about in Luke chapter 7, verses 2 through 10. Here's the story. There's a centurion's servant whom his master valued highly, and he was sick and about to die. The centurion heard of Jesus and sent some elders of the Jews to him, asking him to come and heal his servant. When they came to Jesus, they pleaded earnestly with him. This man deserves to have you do this because he loves our nation and has built our place of worship, synagogue. So Jesus went with them. He was not far from the house when the centurion sent friends to say to him, "Lord, don't trouble yourself, for I do not deserve to have you come under my roof. That is why I did not even consider myself worthy to come to you. But just say the word, and my servant will be healed. For I myself am a man under authority, with soldiers under me. I tell the soldier, go, and he goes. And I tell that soldier, come, and he comes. I say to my servant, do this, and he does it." And when Jesus heard this, he was amazed at him. And then Jesus, turning to the crowd following him, he said, "I tell you the truth, I have not found such great faith even in Israel." Then the men who had been sent returned to his house, and he found the servant well. It's a remarkable story. Sometimes we're more like the father of a son that's spoken of in the Bible, who needed help, and the father asks Jesus, "If you can help me." And Jesus responds, do you remember what Jesus said? "If I can, if I can, everything is possible for the one who believes." And the father said, "I do believe." And then he says, "But help me overcome my unbelief." I think we've all been there. I mean, faith is amazing. There are times when we feel so close to God, it's as if we can reach out and touch God. And we're going to feel this way for the rest of our life. And then a few days later, we wonder, where did those feelings go? Well, we know that God promises us, "I will never leave you. I will never forsake you." So sometimes when we may not feel God's presence, we rely on his words, "I am with you." So if we don't feel his presence, we rely on the statement that Jesus said, "I will always be with you." It's to know that he's always with us. We're not the only ones that feel this way of sometimes being so close to God that we know we're going to be this way for the rest of our life. And then a couple of days go by and we wonder where those feelings go. I think that's probably true. And I think that's part of the understanding of what it is to have faith, wrestling with it, dealing with it. We're not the only ones who feel this way. So I have a number of scriptures that I want to share with you today that I think that they're helpful. Some who didn't believe in Jesus and they thought that he was completely out of his mind. And what's remarkable about this is that we're going to notice that sometimes it was his own family who thought that he'd lost his mind. Even Mary, who has an angel speak to her and say, "You're going to give birth to the Son of God." And then as the years went on, maybe she felt like Jesus wasn't saying and doing things that I think he should be doing. I wonder if it's really true. And so faith story, we wrestle with it all. So I'll just sort of be quiet now and just read some of these scriptures that I hope would be helpful to you. In Matthew chapter 13, beginning in verse 54, there are just a number of scriptures that we're going to look at. It says this, Jesus coming to his hometown, coming to his hometown. Now that may not mean much to you, but if your hometown is a place where you really feel safe, and even though you may have moved away from what was considered your hometown, no matter how many years have gone by, and you go back to your hometown, there's something special that takes place. Barbara and I have had that experience, even though we've been in Beamsville now for some 27 years. Whenever we go back to Sunridge, it's like, oh, hi, Don. Haven't seen you for a while. How's it going? It's like you haven't been gone. There's this relationship. There's this hometown feeling that it's just a unique and wonderful relationship that doesn't make any difference how many years you've been gone. You know that when you set foot in town, there'll be people that say, oh, how you doing, Don? I haven't seen you for a while. It's really nice to see you. There's a hometown feeling. Now, think about this with Jesus. Jesus grew up in a hometown, and then he started to wander, and then he'd come back every once in a while to his hometown. So verse 54, coming to his hometown, he began teaching the people in their synagogue, and they were amazed. But then he said this, they said this, where did this man get this wisdom and these miraculous powers? They asked, isn't this the carpenter's son? Isn't his mother's name Mary? And aren't his brothers James, Joseph, Simon, and Judas? Not Judas Iscariot. Aren't all his sisters with us? Where then did this man get all these things? And they took offense at him. See, it didn't really matter what he did. They said, we know you. You can't do any of these things. Faith comes sometimes at unexpected times. But if we aren't anticipating God bringing us faith, maybe we'll never have the faith that he wants us to have. So here's this story that is told, and maybe we'll just go over to Mark chapter 3 in verses 20 and 21, and I found this one to be pretty incredible. Mark chapter 3, 20 and 21. Then Jesus entered a house, and again a crowd gathered, so that he and his disciples were not even able to eat. And when Jesus' family came, when his family heard about this, get this, they went to take charge of him, for they said, he is out of his mind. That's what his brothers and sisters said. He's out of his mind. I'm not sure if Mary said it. He's out of his mind. Even though the miraculous birth and all the things that Jesus did was already talked about in the Psalms and the prophets, they just really wrestled with this. And then in verse 31, then Jesus's mother and brothers arrived. Standing outside, they sent, they weren't going to go in, they sent someone into the house to call him. And that just grabbed me. How many of us, if we were there as parents, we wouldn't send somebody else. We'd want to be there. We want to go in. Yet mother and brothers arrived standing outside. They sent somebody in. A crowd was sitting around Jesus, and they told him, your mother and your brothers are outside looking for you. And Jesus asked, who are my mother, and my brothers. And then he looked at those seated in a circle around him and said, "Here are my mother and my brothers. Whoever does God's will is my brother and my sister and my mother." That was a pivotal point in the ministry of Jesus. Now, it's interesting later when we notice when Jesus was on his way to the cross, how many of those who doubted him actually went to the cross. It's too emotional to talk about. But sometimes when you talk about family, it is too emotional to talk about. And sometimes faith, it's too emotional to talk about. And I like the story of Donald Miller, who watches a man play the saxophone for some 15 minutes without ever opening his eyes. But the comment, sometimes you have to watch someone love something before you can love it yourself. It's as if they're showing us the way. And sometimes you have to watch people go through incredible times in their life and still have incredible faith. It's as if they're showing us how to have faith. They're showing us the way. In John 1 and verse 11, it says, Jesus came to his own, and his own did not receive him. But also in John chapter 7, it says, Jesus' disciples went to their home, but Jesus went to the Mount of Olives. He had no other place to go. Even though the following, the death, the burial, the resurrection of Jesus, where he reminded them that everything that happened to him was already spoken about him by Moses and the law and the prophets and the Psalms, they just really couldn't grasp it all. In Mark, if you want to follow with me, in Mark chapter 8, in verse 31, Mark 8, in verse 31, it says, he began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders, the chief priests, and the teachers of the law, and that he must be killed and after 3 days rise again. He spoke plainly about this, and Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. But when Jesus turned and looked at his disciples, he rebuked Peter, "Get behind me, Satan. You do not have in mind the concerns of God, but merely the signs of human beings." Or in chapter 9 again, where it basically says the same thing. And in chapter 10, he says the same thing. So what I'd like to do now as I conclude this lesson is I'd like you to go with me to Mark chapter 16 and maybe consider a reading that we've read many times before and look at it somewhat differently. Mark chapter 16. In Mark chapter 16, verses 1 through 8, it's part of the narrative of Mark. But you may have a Bible that does not include beginning in verse 9 and going all the way to verse 20. But if you do, you may find it in a separate little section because the earliest manuscripts and some ancient witnesses don't have it. But most Bibles now do have it. And I'm so glad it does because it has everything to do with sometimes you have to watch someone have faith before you can have it yourself. It's a remarkable addition to Mark chapter 16. And let me just read it to you. When Jesus rose early on the first day of the week after his death, then resurrection, he appeared first to Mary Magdalene, out of whom he had driven seven demons. No one's going to forget that, especially Mary. for the rest of their life. Sometimes you have to watch someone go through something before you can really grasp it all yourself. 2,000 years later, I want to read this to you. When Jesus rose early on the first day of a week, he appeared first to Mary Magdalene, out of whom he had driven 7 demons. She went and told those who had been with him, who were mourning and weeping. And when they heard that Jesus was alive and that she had seen him, they did not believe it. Afterward, Jesus appeared in a different form to 2 of them while they were walking in the country. And that's written earlier. These returned and reported to the rest, but they did not believe them either. That's twice. Later, Jesus appeared to the 11 as they were eating, and he rebuked them for their lack of faith and their stubborn refusal to believe those who had seen him after he had risen. He said to them, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation. Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved, but whoever does not believe will be condemned. And these signs will accompany those who believe. In my name, the name of Jesus, they were able to drive out demons. They were able to speak in different languages," which, of course, is found in Acts chapter 2. "They were able to pick up snakes without being bitten. They were poisoned, and yet they felt no effect. They placed their hands on sick people. They got well. And after the Lord Jesus has spoken to them, he was taken up into heaven, and he sat at the right hand of God. Then the disciples went out and preached everywhere, and the Lord worked with them and confirmed by his word by these signs that accompanied it." They wrestled with their faith. Some of you remember these statements made. Thomas, unless I can see him, unless I can place my hands on him, I will not believe. And Jesus appears. And he never doubted again. Sometimes people who have the most incredible faith have been people who've gone through incredible struggles, incredible difficulties, times of challenge that is beyond. But the one thing that kept them going was their faith. God is with me, and I believe his promise, as do you. I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. I am with you always, even until the end of the age. You see, when Donald Miller tells the story about watching a man play the saxophone for some 15 minutes without ever opening his eyes, and he made the comment, he says, "Sometimes you have to watch someone love something before you can really love it yourself." And sometimes that's true with faith. And sometimes one of the greatest heroes of our faith are not necessarily preachers, are not necessarily people who can quote a zillion passages of scripture, but oftentimes they're people who've gone through incredible struggles, incredible difficulties, incredible pain. And we sometimes comment and we go, we just wonder how people can go through all of that. It's because they've relied on no matter what is happening, God is with me. He will never leave me. He will never forsake me. I am with you always, even until the end of the age. That was his promise then, and that's his promise now. May we all continue to show the faith, the promise. Yep, sometimes we have to go through things. Sometimes we have to go through difficult things before we can truly, truly grasp how close God is with us. May we never, ever forget the promise of God. Never. Never. I will never, never leave you. Never. I will never forsake you. I am with you always. Amen.
I'm going to start today with just a little housekeeping thing. Many of us, this is our first time back in a while, and maybe haven't been here in a bit. We have a new COVID-friendly way of having communion, and they are these little cups, and they're available at the back. And we are picking them up on the way in so that we're not, like, all touching the same cracker, which, like, why did it take COVID to get us to this place? But maybe you're not with, like me. If you did not get one and you would like one, Adam will bring them to you. So if you can just pop your hand up if there's anybody who missed getting them on the way in. Okay. I saw some people who I haven't seen in a while come in today, and I was like, I don't think we've all got these. I'm going to start us today with an object lesson because I am a teacher at heart and professionally. So I'm going to make you do a thing because studies show that when you do something, you actually remember it a little bit better. So I want everybody to stand up. The standing up is actually not part of this, but I've taken to understand that people find sitting for a whole hour to be a little bit mind-numbing. We are going to do a thing where we are going to build up some lactic acid in our arms. So some of you, my biology teacher is sitting in the front row and he's like poised and ready. He knows exactly what's coming. So what we are going to do is, this happens anytime you work a muscle hard for a while, you're gonna just like squeeze your hand fast as you can, hard as you can, until it hurts. And when it hurts, you can have a seat and you can tap out. But you're gonna just do this. If this was an 80s fitness video, I would say you're gonna feel the burn. You're working for that burn. Are you starting to feel it? I'm starting to feel it a little bit. Your stamina is high. Maybe I should do jump squats with this too. Go, go, go. Nobody wants to admit that they're done. Okay, thank you for the people who admitted that they were done. Did you feel that? Yes. Have you felt that before? Yes, probably. You have felt that anytime you have been like cycling up a hill, or you have had to hold your hand up for a really long time asking to go to the bathroom at school, or anytime that you are working your muscles. And for decades, what we said that was, what scientists said that was a waste product. That's a waste product that builds up in your muscles when you're working without oxygen. This was something that was declared in the 1940s and in every textbook for 80 years. I still have a textbook that I use that says this is the way it is. Every muscle physiology textbook, every biochemistry textbook says this is a waste product. But about 10 years ago, a group of scientists said, I think there might be something more going on here. And they did more research into lactate, that molecule that you are feeling now leaving your arm, and what that does in the body. And what they found were a couple of things that it does in the body, and none of them are really a waste thing. It's not a waste product. It's a product that changes your metabolism in your body. And most notably, the two locations that it changes the most, it changes your circulation and your circulation process, which makes sense. You want more oxygen, your circulation is going to change, and it changes how your heart metabolizes. The other thing that it changes, most notably, is your brain. Your brain actually runs off of mostly lactate. It prefers it to sugar. It runs off of lactate, and lactate is really important in memory formation. So we have this thing that for decades we thought was a waste product, but it's actually super important for our heart health and for our brain health. Now, what does that have to do with communion? And what does that have to do with our spiritual lives? And what does that have to do with what Donnie said this morning? How often in our lives do we have something that for ages, decades maybe, we think it is just a painful waste product? We just think it is something painful that we had to go through, and it was a waste, and it was for nothing. But how many of those circumstances afterwards, when you look at them in retrospect, do you say, that is when my heart changed, and that is when my head changed? It was in that painful time that I was experiencing this slow change in my heart and this slow change in my head that brought me to where I am. Relating that to the cross is an egregiously painful thing. It is an awful, awful event. And when we think about, could God have forgiven us? Could he have forgiven us without that? Could he from heaven just said, bammo, you are forgiven, everything is made right? I think perhaps, probably he could have. But without the pain of the cross, without the gruesomeness of the cross, would it have been enough to change our hearts and to change our heads? When we look at the examples that Don gave this morning of Mary and Jesus' brothers who said, I don't know if I believe. If they watched close firsthand, a good teacher, a healer, a miracle worker, they were prophesied to directly by angels and they still went, I don't know. Would it have been enough to change the world without the pain of the cross? And I don't know, but I am sure thankful that it has. Dear God, we come before you and we thank you for the pain in our lives, for the lessons that we learn, for the way you change our hearts and our heads over years, for the secrets that you hide in our bodies, in our physiology and biochemistry that we can uncover to learn more about you years and years and years after your creation. God, we thank you for the cross and we thank you for the pain that Jesus went through and we thank you for the forgiveness that it brought. And it is in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.
Been a wonderful time of worship this morning. Thank you to Don and to Amy for those awesome thoughts. I want to tell you a really quick story that happened to me this week. I'd been having a difficult day. Sometimes I have a lot of them, but I try not to think about it too much. But I was having a particular difficult day, and we decided to get some takeout food. So I was waiting in line for the takeout food, and I noticed that there was a woman with a shirt on that said, CN Tower stair climb. And I thought, oh, wow, you know, I'm seeing somebody that might have climbed all those stairs at CN Tower. As a kid, I marveled at the tower. I looked up at it, went up in the elevator several times up and down, but I never wanted to climb the stairs because I knew how tired that I would be. So I said to the woman, I said, excuse me, did you climb the CN Tower? And she said, oh, yes, I've done it twice, actually. I think the first time she said she did it in 16 or 17 minutes, and the second time was 20-something. And my jaw underneath my mask kind of hit the floor and came back up. And she said, do you climb the stairs too? And I really refrained from laughing hysterically, but I wanted to be respectful, and I thought, how kind of her to think that I would have ever climbed the stairs at the CN Tower. And I said, no, but I greatly admire your accomplishment. And she said, well, you know, you have to pace yourself. And I looked at her, and I was, you know, I knew she was being very serious, and she said, you can do it. She said, and it doesn't really matter how fast you do it. She said, but if you pace yourself, you can do this. She said, You take one step and you pause. And then you take another step and you pause. And she said, and you just keep doing that over and over and over again. And I went away from that feeling like I had been sort of touched by an angel, because sometimes you need to hear those messages that you're having a difficult day, you need to step and pause. And I happened to come across a coworker that I hadn't seen for a very long time. So when she came into work, she had a mask on. And from a distance, I said, oh, I said, I'm not sure that we've met before. And I introduced myself and she introduced herself. And I said, oh, I'm so sorry. I said, I know who you are. I said, I can't tell you who you are with the mask on. And this time she had a cane. And we got to talking about how she happened to be using a cane, because the last time I saw her, she was not using a cane and very athletic and doing all these wonderful physical things. And to make a very long story short, she developed a blood infection previous to Christmas, and she had been in a tilted wheelchair, and not been able to walk or barely move. And here she was with the cane. So she told me the story, and I was completely touched and very honored that she would feel open enough to tell me her story. So I said to her, I said, how are things going? And she said, you know, today's better than the day before, than the day before, than the day before. And I said, that's great. She said, well, my physiotherapists don't seem to cheer me on as much as I cheer on myself. I said, well, that's okay. I'll be your cheerleader. So I told her the story about the CN Tower, because she said, I need to go up to the third floor and I need to talk to so-and-so. I said, well, you can call them. I said, but I'm going to tell you a story about the stairs. So I told her the story about the stairs, and she looked at me and she said, you know, she says, I like that motto. She says, I'm going to take one step and I'm going to pause. I'm going to take one step and I'm going to pause. So faith is like that. Sometimes we don't know how to get through those bumps where we feel our faith is low. So today and from here on in, you're going to take one step and you're going to pause, and you're going to take one step and you're going to pause. And eventually we're going to get there, and we'll get there together. If you will, pray with me now as we close for our service. And I'll ask, since the weather's really nice out, I'm not sure what the rules are about congregating inside, but it's always safer outside. So if we can all exit back first and then to the front as we listen to the music, we'll meet everybody outside for a moment of chit-chat and saying goodbyes before we head on for our week. Let's bow now. Dear Heavenly Father, we love you so much. We could never love you as much as you love us. We know that you will never leave us or forsake us. And your love on the cross changed our hearts. We pray for the people across the world, in our towns and in our cities, our friends and in our workplaces, our neighborhoods and our community. We pray that everyone would know your love. We know that right now there are so many of our family, our church family, our friends, and our community that are going through really difficult times. And we just pray for strength. We pray that your faith, our faith in you, would come through as the strength that we need to get through those difficult times. And we celebrate all the wonderful things that you have accomplished through your good people. And we thank you for the volunteers and for the caregivers and for the people in the stores and the delivery men and the people on the street that pass by and say hello. All these things make a difference to the people around us. We thank you for your love. We thank you for the security of being able to come to a church and to not be persecuted. We thank you for the freedom of worship. And we thank you for meeting new friends and new visitors. And we ask that you bless our congregation, and that our church will grow in numbers, and that we will be like Christ in the community. We just ask for all the strength that we can garner, that we can take from you. And we just thank you, Lord, for all that you've done. We just are so, so blessed. We ask that you go with us through the weeks ahead, and that we can meet again next week, and that your love will shine through us as we talk to people, as we email people, as we text to people, as we come across to everybody in our community. We just hope that we are your light. And we pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thanks for watching or listening. The Beamsville Church of Christ meets at 4900 John Street, Beamsville, Ontario. We are currently holding in-person services following provincial COVID-19 regulations. If you would like to be part of the videos but aren't comfortable joining us in person, you can send us a video. Get in touch via email or on Facebook for more details. Scripture quotations marked NIV, taken from the Holy Bible, New International Version, NIV. Copyright 2011 by Biblica, Inc. Used by permission, all rights reserved, worldwide. You can find out more about the congregation on our Facebook page or at beamsvillechurchofchrist.ca.